Ten Commandments. Carol found this. She thought I needed it. The Ten Commandments are not a multiple choice. I was doing some reading this week, and I was reminded that there's a lot of people who believe that the Ten Commandments are really not relevant anymore. And they base that on the fact that there's a lot of the Old Testament that obviously is not applicable to the day of the church. We're not doing animal sacrifices anymore because that's all been fulfilled in Jesus. And there's a lot of directives that were given to the Israelites, some food and clothing and some things that were designed specifically for them and for their culture. And so we're not making up all kinds of lists of what you can eat and can't eat and what you can wear and not wear. You can't mix two kinds of fabric and all that, because I think they were unique. They were special things that God did for his nation, Israel, and they all had a purpose for them, but they're not necessarily applicable now, and I think we need to keep that in perspective. But when it comes to the basic Ten Commandments, why would anybody who has any respect for God and respect for the Bible suggest that the basic Ten Commandments are not applicable and relevant for people at all times, in all places, forever? Worship only one God. Have only one God and worship Him and don't have any counterfeit God. You can't have a biblical religion. You can't have a relationship with the Creator and allow for a second God of any kind. That never changes. If Creator God isn't Creator God, and if He's not the only God, then the whole concept of the Bible is irrelevant, because it's based on the fact that there is one God, and if you bring a counterfeit God into that, into the worship process, you've canceled out allegiance to the real God, and everything from there goes downhill. And then to misuse the name of God, to take the holy name of God and disgrace it, degrade it, misuse it. But we don't like people to do that with our name. You don't want somebody to take your name and use it in a false way, in a degrading way, in a demoralizing way. None of us like that. Why would that be any different with God? He's the only God. And then the principle of Sabbath. And as I suggested last week, people get all hung up on the day. I don't care what day you set aside to worship corporately like this. We sang this morning, come now is the time to worship. All the time is the time to worship. We come together as a body to do what we're doing today because we need that. Jesus said Sabbath was made for humans, not humans for the Sabbath. And it's a break in the action. It's a pause. It's a time to stop and evaluate and enjoy and, in our case, make some corrections in our life. Completely relevant. In fact, in America today, marriages are breaking up, families are breaking up, relationships are breaking up, churches are breaking up, because many things enter in, but often it's because people don't take time for Sabbath. We don't pause long enough to think things through before we respond or act or do something, and often we make bad choices. And today, children, obey your parents. Not only because it's the right thing to do, but as Deuteronomy says, repeating Exodus 20:12, Deuteronomy 5:16 says, that's the commandment with a promise that you live long. I smile when I read that every time. Children, obey your parents if you want to have a good long life. Because that suggests if you don't obey your parents, it might be short. Some of us have wondered if it was going to be short when we didn't obey. It's a commandment with a promise. You have a better life when you obey. But you know, this is such an easy passage to direct to the kids. As I've studied and prepared for today, I thought, wait a minute. Each of us is a child, and each of us has parents. And I don't think that was directed just to young kids. The obedience part, I think, is because that's what children are supposed to do as we're growing up. But the honoring mom and dad, I think, is generational. And I don't think that ever ends. In fact, I think the reason a lot of kids today are not honoring their parents is because they grew up in homes where parents didn't really honor their parents. Now, let's face it, kids grow up learning to do life the way their parents model for them. That doesn't mean they always do it the way we model it, because they make their own choices. But we're supposed to set the standard. So I'm going to talk for a few minutes about this whole idea of honor family. In the NIV, it says in Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The Jewish family had an advantage that most of us do not have. They were a nation set aside, pulled out of the majority of people, set apart with the special blessing of God, with special privileges to be enjoyed all through life and to anticipate the Messiah. And they were pretty much an agricultural environment, so they not only lived pretty much secluded to themselves, but they lived a lifestyle where mom and dad and kids would have been together much of the time. And I relate to this more than most of us do today. When I was growing up on the farm and the ranch, I spent hours and hours with my dad. He tells me I was sleeping on the seat of the truck when he was out fixing fence, younger than I can remember. He took me along. And from the youngest memories that I have, he spent hours and hours, and I learned from him. I learned good things from him. I learned some things that weren't so good from him that I had to unlearn as I got older. We don't have that advantage today. We have to work at spending time with our kids. Most of our jobs, we can't take our kids with us. So families today have to really make a committed effort to do life together, do projects together. So they had an advantage, I think, that we don't have. That doesn't excuse us from the responsibility. It just means we're going to have to work a lot harder at it. We're going to have to be creative to make it happen. And I could have done a whole lot better job of that when our kids were growing up than I did. I worked at it, but I could have done a lot better job. It's interesting when you get to a point in life and you look back and you say, why did I think that was so important? Why did I let that go by and not put that energy into where it probably should have been? And there are no perfect parents, but maybe some of our mistakes can be benefits to other people. So I want to talk about honor family. The word honor means to give weight to something. Now think about it. Think about it. Even in our church family, and I'm pointing the fingers at me, if our marriages and our family life and the way we do life as a church family is always according to the weight that God gives to that priority, wouldn't we have a lot more impact than we do? Don't people look to the church to see if we're giving an influence and an example? And when we are, don't they benefit from that? And when we are, don't they say, I don't want any part of that? When people disagree over trivia that really doesn't matter, preferences, personal preferences, that really aren't biblical priorities, they're just traditions and things that we all like. And we jaw at each other and we nag at each other, and maybe we even leave a body because we didn't like some particular style or tradition. What kind of a statement does that make about the unity of the family called the church? So we can all work at that. When marriage is honored and children are valued, the human family is a picture of what God's eternal family will be. We sing the song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, and washed in the blood, and I'm doing life together, and it's a wonderful concept. We enjoy so much of that here. And I worry about the fact that some of what we enjoy as a family in church, I'm not sure that everybody's enjoying as a family at home. It discourages me when people can come to church and have the wonderful time that we have here and benefit from it. And then during the week, I find out that they're at odds in their marriage and in their kids. And I think, what's up with this picture? What are we doing wrong? Honor family. Give weight to it. Creator God designed the family to multiply the human race and to give us a wonderful opportunity for companionship and to demonstrate our relationship with Him. So very quickly, honor marriage.
It all starts there. That's where the family starts.
Honor of the family begins with marriage. You know what? You cannot redefine marriage and honor God. Marriage is one man, one woman committed for the duration of their life. I know there's all kinds of situations because of sin. I know there's abusive things that you've got to get out of. And there's things that happen that break up a marriage. But the design by God is a man and a woman committed in marriage for the duration of their life. Isn't that amazing? That simple. You know, we're pretty worked up in our country right now about the way it's being redefined, but it's just new to our country. Many parts of the world, they've been redefining marriage for centuries. Study the first century. Study what was going on in the Roman Empire. And they were redefining marriage, and they were abusing children. It's disgusting beyond disgusting to read what was happening during those days. It's not new. But it's not the way we've been privileged to do life in our country. We need to keep that in perspective. It doesn't justify anything that's going on. It just says that the progression of sin, when people ignore the priorities of God in any country, in any community, in any family, over time, it will deteriorate negatively and eventually destroy the family. So we need to make sure we're defining marriage correctly. When I stand in front of one of our young couples this afternoon, and I don't know how sunny they want it to be, but I'm delighted that we might have cloud cover because it's an outdoor wedding. When I stand in front of them this afternoon and make a few statements about marriage and the significance of it, I'm so grateful that as they say their vows and as they review what they're getting into, if they follow the priorities that God has designed, they will have a good marriage. They may have all kinds of financial issues and health issues and in-law issues and outlaw issues and everything else that comes into marriage. But they'll have a good marriage. Because God designed marriage correctly. It's a beautiful relationship. It's so fun to be able to do that. We're to honor marriage and we're to honor children. You know, the value of life is taught in the family. That's where we learn the value of life. We're going to have commandment said, don't kill. That's about way more than just taking physical lives. There's dozens of ways to kill people who are still alive. Honor life. Honor children. Value life. I don't think a lot of people realize how much it dishonors children when mom and dad mess up their relationship. You see, a husband and wife who allow their relationship to get messed up, it's probably mostly because they're thinking about themselves. And when you're thinking about yourself, you're not thinking about your kids. You're dishonoring your kids. This thing's all coupled together. Marriage and children. Value of life is taught in a family relationship, and it flows out of a marriage where husband and wife demonstrate absolute value for each other. Appreciation. care, concern, all those qualities that we say make for the world. And when that's happening, children are being honored. They're elevated. They're appreciated. And they have the right to exist. Honoring family also includes honoring parents. Respect for authority is demonstrated in the home. That's where you learn it. You don't learn respect for authority from the policeman because he or she wears a badge. You don't learn it from the teacher because they're in a position of authority. You don't learn it from your boss because they're the one that will decide whether you keep your job or get your paycheck. You learn respect for authority. And respect for authority in the home starts with a man and a woman who respect marriage, who have children for the right reasons and honor them. And kids are able to learn from that respect for authority. Isn't it a brilliant plan? If you want to design a way for people to get along and to have a good life in the land, to quote scripture, if you were to say, I'm going to design something where humans can have a joyful life, a productive life, a safe life, a peaceful life, a life where they get along with each other, a life where they respect each other, a life where they value life, could you come up with something better than what God has come up with? It's an amazing plan. Children, obey your parents. Honor your mom and dad so you can live long in the land and have a good life. And it's bigger than just the kids and parents. We're all kids. We're all children. Even at my age, I'm still a child, right? Because I have parents. They're not living. They're with the Lord. But I have parents, don't I? I have grandparents. Where did I learn to honor parents? Well, I learned some of it from my parents because they had some demands on my life. And I found out what happened when I didn't honor them. But I also watched them. I think of this so often. I watched my parents treat their parents. I grew up with them. The ones that were still living when I came along. I watched my dad take care of his father-in-law, my mom's father, who died of cancer, living right in a little house on our ranch right here. I was in the 8th grade when he died, and I was very close to my grandpa. It about ruined me, and I didn't understand a lot about life. I watched my dad care for that man, did medical stuff for him. Amazing. And I look back on that, and I think, wow, what an example. His father-in-law. Generations. Doesn't mean we always need to bring our parents into our home and care for them. Many times it's way better to have them in a facility where there's the kind of help that they really need. But our attitude and our support and our care of them and our acceptance of them. As I get older and think I might be losing my mind, I'm thinking, man, I hope my kids will accept me when I don't have them anymore. I told Carol, I'm not afraid to die, but one of my biggest fears is to have a lingering illness and a fading mind. And the only hope I have is that if I end up in a care facility in that condition, I think I'm at least going to be entertaining to everybody. And embarrassing to Carol. Honor of parents is carried out in the home. And Jesus, in Matthew 15, he really got after the religious leaders when he said to them, you guys are supposed to take care of your parents, but instead of doing that, you're taking a little bit of that money, resources that you should care for your parents, and you're giving it to God's work, and then you're just saying everything's fine, I've done what's good. And he really scolded them for that. I hear him saying it's more important to take care of your parents than it is to give money to the church. Family. It's generations.
What's our culture doing? Our culture is saying, get rid of babies if we don't want them, and get rid of elderly people if we don't want them, if they're more of a nuisance to us than they are good. That is a progression of lack of honor for the family. May it never be true of any of us as followers of Jesus if we follow in His pattern. Honor generations. Honor parents is carried out here. And then honor the church family. You know, it's a glimpse of heaven. I am the most prejudiced pastor on planet Earth. I admit that. I get to be the lead pastor of the best church family on planet Earth. And I'm so grateful for that. We have an amazing church family. And if there's an opportunity on planet Earth to have a little glimpse of what heaven's going to be like, for me, it's my relationship with my wife, my relationship with some family members, my relationship with some close friends, and big picture, my relationship with the Woodrow Baptist Church. Thank you for being who you are. I applaud you. We're not perfect. We don't have a perfect marriage. We don't have a perfect family. We don't have a perfect church. We're doing some stuff right. And I pray to God that in all these things we're doing, with community outreach and kids' programs and night out, and UBS and food boxes and you name it, that the message of the story of Jesus is being demonstrated through a family of believers here that care about God's priorities more than we care about our own personal interests and selfish attitudes. And I think that's what family is about. If sin had never come into the human race, if Adam and Eve had not allowed the counterfeit God Satan to distract them and bring sin into the human race, it would have been an amazing large family by now on planet Earth. Can you imagine? But no, sin came in. And it put a division in marriage and a division in the family that showed up in the first kids. And it's been a dividing thing ever since. And family, as God designed it, to show what He's like as a father managing a family, has been hurt all through the ages. And we had a lot more going for us 200 years ago in our great country when family mattered a whole lot more than it does in the United States today. And that's unfortunate. And we can make a difference in that. Not in changing the country, changing in our life, our priorities, our modeling, our leadership, our church. If people are going to get any idea of what the family of God is about and want to be a part of heaven, much of what they're going to see to motivate them that way is what they see among us. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that a great challenge? Don't you love it? And then we're to honor God and forget the principle of things. So I believe that the Ten Commandments are as relevant today as the day the Israelites heard them, as recorded in Exodus 20 and the other places they've been repeated. And honoring parents, families that are living honorable lives under the banner of respect for God is still what tells the greatest story of the gospel of Jesus. Because when families are doing life correctly, it's so attractive, so impacting, that people want to know, where'd you get that idea? What motivates you? Let's be families that honor God. And you know, we can have the greatest family on the planet and do most everything pretty well. Respect, solid marriage, financial management, caring about it. There's a lot of good religious people that are doing that on planet. planet Earth today. They're following the pattern that God designed. And when you follow something that God designs, it's a good thing to follow. It works out. But sadly, you will end up in hell. Because they've never trusted Savior Jesus personally. You see, to get into the family of God, you got to be born again into His family. You got to admit that you're a sinner in need of the Savior. You can't live a good enough life to get into the family of God. It's all through Savior Jesus. And just like we're born into our earthly family, that's how we become a member of it. We're born into the family of God when we believe in our heart, say with our mouth, Jesus is God, my Savior. Family is amazing. But there will be a lot of people who have done family life correctly but have never come to know Jesus as Savior, and they'll miss the eternal family of God. That's so disheartening. We sang it. Now's the time to worship. Someday every knee shall bow before Jesus. But they won't be bowing before Him as Savior. They'll be acknowledging who He is, but they'll have missed eternal life because they denied Him in this life. Make sure you know Jesus as your Savior. And then follow the principles of family life. They're all good. Father, I haven't shared anything new today. It's right out of Your Word. But I pray that maybe the review and the reflection of what it means to honor family in all aspects will be useful to us. As we evaluate our own life and marriage and relationships and the example we're giving to others. And I thank You that as some of us will get to celebrate a marriage ceremony this afternoon, that the potential of that young couple having the best life that anybody could ever have in marriage is all theirs because of what You designed and because they know You personally. Thank You for who You are and for what we get to enjoy. Thank You for the joy and hope of being with You forever in Your great family. What an amazing experience that would be, I cannot imagine. All because of Jesus.